quiet out there right now. Well, praise the Lord. You guys have a good week? Amen. I always ask, you just never know. You know what I mean? You guys all look pretty good. You look like you got your church faces on, so it's really hard to tell if you had a good week or not. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, oh gosh. It's going to be an interesting Sunday, I think. I think we need to go to the Lord and ask for His help and His wisdom and His guidance and see where He's going to lead us. Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Father, we need Your guidance. We need Your grace. We need Your mercy. We need Your love. We need You. Isn't that awesome? We need You. You're the most important thing in our lives, Father, and we just need You the most. Just pray, Father, that we would understand that, realize that, comprehend that. Get it into our hearts. Understand that You are God. And You love us. You love us with an unshakable, undying love. And we just pray for that, Father. We thank You, Father. We're just looking for You to work in our midst this morning. Just give me wisdom, Father, to speak what needs to be said. Say it in the correct way, Father. And bring You all the glory. Paul, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Cool. Well, if you watch the news, it's all doom and gloom, right? Doom and gloom. Interestingly enough, I listen to Moody Radio. I don't know if anybody. Kind of hard to get around here, I think. In Cleveland, it's really big up there, Moody Radio. They've only been in business, what, 100-some years, I guess. Moody Institute and all that. But they have nothing but Christian broadcasting. It's pretty cool. And they have stuff to like 9 o'clock in the morning. From 9 o'clock until 3, it's nothing but preachers. Every half hour, it's a different preacher. And they're all really good. Really good. But what's really cool about all saying all that is some things we don't see in the news. They had a gentleman on there, is retired Rear Admiral Barry Black. Pretty good handle, right? He is the Senate chaplain for the government. He's a government chaplain. He was on there and he said, you cannot believe the amount of people every day in our Washington, D.C., in the Senate, they have prayer meeting and a Bible study. They've got a room set aside strictly for that. He says, Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter. He said, we're not either one. We're going there. We actually went there to pray for each other and study the Bible. Isn't that cool? I don't see that on the news, do you? September 26th, you guys see the prayer march in Washington, D.C.? Yeah. Did you see it on the news? No, nothing. They said there's going to be probably 50,000 people there. They said there was upwards of 75 or 100,000 people that went to D.C. and walked and marched and prayed. Did nothing else but pray. Isn't that cool? And they prayed for our government. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that sound good? Huh? I didn't see it on the news. I didn't hear nothing about that on the news. Nothing. And I thought, wow. So with all that being said, my mind was kind of looking, you know, it's all doom and gloom and bad stuff going on, all this and there. Well, I was looking through the Bible, is what I do. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, there's some verse there. It kind of ties right in with what Les was talking about. And I thought, that's pretty cool. That's the Holy Spirit working. It kind of ties in with what I think Matt was preaching about last week. I think it ties in what Les was preaching about the week before. It's just all kind of tying together. Isn't that cool? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, and whatever you do, the Amplified says, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Amplified says, and independent upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. So everything I do, this chapter is talking about, you know, when you're working, you know, and the boss comes around, you see people get really busy. When the boss leaves, they, you see that? You have people like that? The boss is coming. Oh, what makes the difference? I'm doing my job. What makes the difference? You want to work different when he's here or not? Yeah, people do. Because I work for somebody a little higher up than that. Huh? I do some things at work. The guy says, you're the man. I said, I'm not the man, but I know the man. I said, he don't work here. I tell them that. And they look at me kind of like, okay, yeah. You want to talk about it? We will. I know the man. He don't work here. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. So whatever we do in word or in deed, we do to Jesus. Anybody clean toilets here? It's my job at home to clean the toilets. Pretty exciting stuff, huh? Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. 9 grandkids. Yeah, it's exciting stuff. Yeah, yeah. But that's okay, because I'm cleaning it for a good reason, right? It needs to be cleaned. I'm doing that to the glory of the Lord. Isn't that something? I do a good job. I polish that thing. I shine that thing. I mean, it's clean. It's a spotless. Huh? Yeah. I'm doing it for the Lord. Isn't that cool? Huh? So then I was looking at this, and I thought, well, and the title of the sermon today is more honorable, because I was looking at a prayer. You know, we pray. You ever pray for something and not happen? You ever pray? Oh, Jamie must be really spiritual because she says she's never had a problem with that. So that's pretty cool. Good for you. Praise the Lord. Good for you. Huh? You ever pray for something for 27 years? I can truthfully say I've been praying for something for 27 years. You know, sometimes I... But you know what? I know the man. Huh? I know the man. So, just because he hasn't answered that prayer doesn't mean he hasn't already worked it out. We just got to be careful we don't get down sometimes. Because sometimes we pray and we pray. We earnestly pray. We pray. And nothing happens. You say, God, you're not doing nothing. I have a person right now who says, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. But I don't believe He does anything for me. Nothing. He will not answer my prayers. He does absolutely nothing for me. How do you answer that? You get hard questions from people sometimes when they know you know the man, so they want to ask you questions. Huh? You like that? Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said she loved hard questions because it got her in the Word looking for the answer. And I thought, you know what? That's the way we should be. We shouldn't be afraid to have a hard question. We ain't got all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I'm probably the simplest guy you'll ever meet. And that's bar none, truthfully. I'm being truthful, flat out truthful with you. I'm the simplest guy you ever meet. But I'm just dumb enough to believe if it says it in there, He means it. He means it. With all that being said, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. I want to go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I want to look at something here. It's interesting. I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is because we all have genealogy. You see the DNA? You know, you can get your DNA tested and they can tell you, you know, where you probably percentage or what percentage of person you are, where you come from, and all this stuff. They can tell you a lot of stuff, right? So with that being said, there's a lot of people that came before you to get you here, right? Yeah, a lot of family people. Grandmothers, grandfathers, grandparents, great, great, great. A lot of people, right? When 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there's a 1 Chronicles, if you want to fall asleep, if you want to go to sleep really fast, just get 1 Chronicles and start reading it. I'm telling you, because you can't pronounce any of these names. You can't pronounce them. And you'll go, you'll be sleeping in 5 minutes. I'm telling you, you'll be out. The Chronicles, if you start, it's just nana, son, and nana, daughter, son, and daughter, son, and nana, nana. Huh? Right out in the middle of all this stuff, in chapter 4. And I'll read a little bit here. I don't know why we don't name our children some of these names. Wouldn't this be cool? We couldn't pronounce them, right? Because nobody knew who they were. They wouldn't have a clue. Oh, gosh. And I don't even know where I'm not even. Verse 4. And Peniel was the father of Gedor, and Ezor the father of Husha. These were the sons of Hur, the eldest of Ephratath, and the father of Bethlehem. Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nara. Nara bore him Ahazam, Hefer, Temani, Hashatari. These are Nara's sons. Isn't them great names? You're getting tired already, ain't you? See you guys nodding off. They're nodding off, huh? Verse 7. The sons of Hela, Zareth, Iskar, and Ithanan. Koz was the father of Anab, Zebeda, and the families of Harahul, son of Haram. Verse 9. What do you see there? We're talking about old people. We're talking about all these people. Names, genealogies. You know. And verse 9 comes up and says, Jabez. Y'all heard of the prayer of Jabez? You ever hear that? It's in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of the Sahara Desert. It's a speck of sand and a huge person. It's just huge. His name, the name. And all of a sudden, for some reason, the Holy Spirit said, you know what? We need to put this guy in here. There's a reason. Cool. Let's look at it. Jabez was honorable above his brothers. More honorable. But his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him sorrow. Jabez means sorrow, pain. That's what it means. Verse 10. Jabez cried to the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and you would keep me from evil, so that it might not hurt me. And God granted his request. Then we go, Caleb, the mother of... We go right back into it. There's two verses of this guy. He's the only guy in all these genealogies that they stop for two verses and give a little explanation. Isn't that cool? I thought this was cool. So this is a neat prayer. Jabez was more honorable. Why was he more honorable? Doesn't say. There's nothing in here about some heroic act, right? There's nothing in there. What did he do? He prayed. Jabez was honorable because he prayed. And God honored him because he prayed. Jabez prayed. He talked to God. He had a conversation with God on a regular basis. And if you look at this prayer, it doesn't end. There's no amen, Selah, in the Lord's name, nothing. It doesn't end. So we're supposed to pray without ceasing, right? Cool. This is good. I'm liking this. Jabez was more honorable because he prayed than his brothers. He prayed. He talked to God. And then it says what? Doesn't say anybody's dad. Don't say who his dad was, does it? Nothing. Jabez is used three times in the whole book of the Bible, Old and New Testament. In 1 Chronicles 2:55, there's a city named Jabez. And then here in verses 9 and 10, we see Jabez. That's it. Don't see nothing more about him. Don't know any more about him. Don't know where he came from, where he lived, nothing. Don't know nothing. Don't know if he was married. We don't know nothing. The only thing we know about Jabez was, in the midst of all these DNA people, in the midst of all this, the Holy Spirit said, you know, that guy needs to be right there. And it got me thinking, as children of the Almighty God, I was very fortunate to have two godly parents. My mother and father were very godly people. I told you when I was younger I had a drug problem. If the church was open, I got drugged to church. I had a drug problem. I did. We were there Sunday night. We were there Wednesday. If there was VBS, we was there. We was there. Period. There. All the time. We were at church. And on the days we didn't go to church, we went to rest homes and sang. My dad would preach, and my brothers and I would sing. We didn't have any music. We just sang. And they loved it. So I think, you know, how do I live up to that? Put yourself in this position. When they're reading down through the genealogies of your family, is there going to be a couple verses stop and say, you know, now, Paul, he was a praying dude. He was a praying dude, I'm just truthfully asking. You think they're going to have that? He was a praying guy. Or she was a praying woman. Right? Isn't that cool? It made me think. I thought, wow. So we look at Jabez. Jabez's names mean sorrow maker. Painful. Trouble. He was trouble. His mother named him Trouble, Sorrow Maker, because for some reason, when he was born, there was something going on. When you look at the word description, it could be mental or physical pain. We don't know. Nothing. Doesn't say. He just said, because I had a bad time, I named him Jabez. Did Jabez live up to his name? No. Isn't that cool? You ever have anybody say, You're too stupid to know. You're too stupid. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Doug? Bless your heart. When somebody in the South says, bless your heart, that means you're just stupid and I feel sorry for you. That's what it is, right? It just bless your heart. They try to make it sound good, but they're just saying, it's a nice way of saying, you're just stupid. Sorry. So when someone gives you that name, and you think, oh man, I'll never be able to do that. I'm too old, or I'm too weak, or I'm too slow, or I'm too ugly, or whatever. If they put that name on you, do you have to live up to that name? No. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Because what name do we have to live up to? We are a child of the Almighty God. We are sons and daughters of God. Isn't that cool? You know when God looks at you, and I've told you a million times, but you know when He looks at you, He sees His Son. He sees His precious Son. He sees Him. He doesn't see you. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see this pathetic excuse for a human being. He sees His Son. And He can do nothing but love. Isn't that great? Isn't that exciting? That make you feel better? It does me, because I know me. You guys are probably all pretty, like Halo type people. When you get the little ring. Mine's held up by the two horns. See? Huh? Because that's the kind of person. I try to be a nice person. Try to be. But sometimes that old man gets just wells up in there, and then I do things that I probably shouldn't. Yeah. The Lord was with me this last week. I had a job. There's a lot of damage to the equipment. So the person over that job told them not to call me to come there. So I said, fine, I'll just come anyway. That's what I do. If anything gets damaged, we have to call it in. Has to be a code made for it. Charge the time to and the damage and all that stuff. I was working. This guy comes up to me. No hard hat. No safety vest. I have no idea who he is. And he gets right in my face right here. And he starts hollering at me. And I thought about grabbing him by the throat and choking the life out of him. It was the first thought I had. And when he started to back away, I just kept walking. And he tripped over and traveled around and run off. And I thought, well, I don't know who you were, but if you come back, I'll probably pound you into the ground. That wasn't very nice, was it? Huh? That wasn't very nice. And I told the Lord, oh, gosh. Sorry. You'd have probably hit it. I didn't. You know what I mean? I told the Lord, I said, you probably would have. No, he didn't. Come to find out that it was the guy in charge of the job. He's just an arrogant bully, which is fine. He didn't get to bully me. I'm not much of a bullying type of person. I'm sorry. But I wasn't very nice. You know what I mean? I should have said, praise the Lord, yes, sir! And just traced him right down until he fell on the dirt and kept talking to him about it. Huh? I didn't. No. See, I failed. I failed. I failed miserably. And then I talked to the Lord about it and said, yeah, well, Father, I ask forgiveness for that. And I confess the sin. I got to move on. Got to move on, right? Yeah. So we're talking about Jabez. And Jabez here, his name means sorrow. His mother named me sorrow, but he didn't live up to that name. It says, Jabez cried to the God of Israel. Jabez cried to Elohim, Creator God. You think Jabez had heard stories about the God of Israel, what he'd done? Huh? We're talking about when he brought him out of Egypt. We're talking about things God... He's heard stories, right? He knew God was God. So he cried out to God, to God! What's he say? Oh, that you would bless me. Woo-wee. Get an amen to that one, huh? Bless me, Lord, bless me. Let me choke the life out of that guy, but bless me anyway. Huh? I think sometimes that's the way we look at it. We ask the Lord to bless us, not realizing, that we get blessed so we can bless others. God blesses you so you can be an avenue to bless others for Him. Isn't that cool? That's cool. Okay, so He asks Him to bless Him. What's He do next? And that you would enlarge my border. It's interesting word study when you do that. Well, what do you think of first? I have a lot of ground. I have like 1,000 acres. I want big, lot of stuff, right? Isn't that what we all think? If you look at the word study on this, when he says, he'll enlarge my territory, the implication is, if I'm going to talk to people about God, God, I need you to open up some stuff so I can get out there a little farther. I need you to make it so I can walk a little farther this way and talk to people here, and I can go over here a little farther and talk to people here, and I can go this way, and I can talk. I need you to make that a little bigger area for me, because I got a lot to talk to them about. Huh? Isn't that cool? It's a good thing to pray for, isn't it? Be careful. be careful. That's when the hard questions come. That's when people ask you questions that, like, theologians have been studying that for thousands of years and still ain't come up with the idea on that. Well, that's true. There's a lot of things that they don't know about yet. They've thought about, they've speculated on, they've talked about, they've hashed about. Things you don't know. Most important thing we need to know is that He is God and He is in control. Amen? And all the stuff that I do, I got to do for Him. So, large in the territory. And then it says, and your hand might be with me. Jabez has seen God's hand work in Israel. He brought him out of Egypt. Can you imagine parting the Red Sea? Could you imagine standing there and seeing that water go and just walk through? No! I said it before, it's been a long time ago, but there's a, I think the Prince of Egypt is an animated film of that called The Prince of Egypt. And it shows the Red Sea parting back and the lightning strikes and there's a whale in the side of the wall. And I thought, that's cool! That's how I picture it! That's God! He just puts that water up and there's a whale there thinking, this wasn't here before. Huh. And people walking right through the middle of it. Isn't that cool? Jabez heard these stories. He heard people say, man, you that was so awesome. So I want, he says, God, I want you to make my territory bigger so I can talk to people. But I also want you to be with me because I ain't going to go out there by myself. You know what's he say? And you would keep me from evil so it might not hurt me. A lot of evil in the world today, isn't there? Feel like we got to get our concealed carry just in case. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's true. Some of the places I work is questionable. Very, very questionable. You don't know. So, for him to pray that evil wouldn't hurt me. That's a good prayer, too. I guess the point I'm trying to make of this prayer is, it's stuff we pray today, right? To God, you would be with me? That you would give me an opportunity to talk to somebody? To God, your hand would be upon me, and I would be led in the direction you want me to go? Right? And what's it say? And God granted his request. Isn't that interesting? God granted his request. And I thought, now, he's in the middle of nowhere. We don't know much about the guy. Obviously, he prayed. God granted his request. And I thought, why don't he grant mine? 27 years. 27 years, long time. You know what? I haven't given up yet. I'm not going to give up either. There's people in this church that I pray for that have issues that I haven't been able to see, and they haven't been able to see God working in them. But I know He is. There's something going on. There's something going on. I don't know what it is. I don't have the answers. I'm not that smart. But why did He grant Jabez's request? Why? I come up with an interesting verse, and I had the... It's probably been many, many years ago. There was a missionary here. I read through this scripture, and it hit me then. And it's never... It's always comes back to me. In Genesis, let's go to Genesis. We're real close. Genesis chapter 18. I ain't even going to use the whole verse. Genesis 18:14. Interesting. Because I thought, why did God grant his request? See Genesis 18:14? See what it says in the very, 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 very beginning. Is anything too hard for God? Now in this situation, Sarai, Abram, had not been able to have children. She had no children. They were getting up in age to the point where kids are not a good idea right now. You know what I'm saying? Not a good idea right now. Kind of like, it'd be like, I guess, Verlton and Becky having a child right now. Wouldn't that be exciting for you, Becky? I mean, you try to put it in perspective. I mean, you try to think about it. God says, you know what? You're 100 years old, but you're going to have a baby. He's got a sense of humor, don't he? Huh? You can see why Sarah laughed. in these verses of Scripture, she laughs. She's like, dude, it's almost like God saying, Sarah, don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know who you're dealing with? Don't you know? He asks her a question. Is anything too hard for God? Let me ask you a question. When something comes in your life and you think, I'm too old for that kind of stuff. Huh? I'm not smart enough for that. I'm not. Put anything in there you want. Fear. Anything. And you put it in the context, is anything too hard for God? Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? Just a couple little words there. That word is a Hebrew word. It's used 71 times. It's a word meaning marvelous, extraordinary, beyond one power to do, wonderful, exceedingly great, awesome. Huh? Is anything too hard beyond all your expectations? Huh? God says, is anything? And the word anything, what is that? Anything, anything, name it. Name it. Anything. Yeah. The word covers it all. It's anything. Is there anything you can name? It's too hard for God. And if you look at it, the way it's written down, is anything too hard for the Lord? It says, God is Elohim, Creator God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created. He's power. Jehovah is Lord. Jehovah is the word God gave to him. It's the name he gave himself. Jehovah. What's Jehovah mean? It's a tetragrammaton. I don't know, kind of messed up. German guy, when he transposed it, messed it up and it became Yahweh. He messed it up. Oh, God had a little hand in that too, didn't he? Yahweh is a relational God. So the God of relationship, the God you talk to daily, hopefully, hourly, hopefully, minutely, hopefully, secondly, hopefully, he says, is anything too hard for me? It's a faith question, guys. That question is a faith question. When you put something in your life, it comes to a point in your life, something comes against you, and you say, I don't think you can handle that one, God. That's a big one. That's a big one. Ooh. Huh? It's a big one. It is a big one. But then we think, my faith is small. I have very little faith. Little faith. I have little faith. The Bible says the faith of a grain of a mustard seed? You ever see a mustard seed? You used to have a tie clip that had one of them mustard seeds. A little teeny tiny little seed. Smallest thing you ever seen. The Bible says if you've got faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Huh? Because the faith we have is not in me doing it. The faith we have is not in you doing it. The faith we have is in the God who doesn't have a problem with it. Can you believe that? Can you put any problem you have into that scenario? Is anything too hard, difficult? Oh, that's tough. Changes your perspective. Makes you wonder if Jabez might have thought, you know, is anything too hard for God? I'm just going to ask you. Stuff is too hard for him. God, I want my territory to be bigger. God, I want to be able to talk to people. God, I want your hand to be with me. I want you to be with me all the time. I want your hand to guide me and lead me. I want to talk to people. I want to tell them that you are God and you are awesome and I love you. Huh? And I don't want evil to come against me and beat me up because I don't like evil. It beat me up. I don't like it. Say, God granted your request. I've been waiting 27 years. Been waiting on that request to be fulfilled. And I think sometimes, looking back 27 years, I can see that I am where I'm at today because of that. I am here I am singing poorly, I am bringing you the word, studying, trying to make you understand that God loves you and there's nothing too hard for Him, and don't ever give up. Yeah. So, I kind of thank Him for that. I can look back and say, you know, Lord, I'm kind of glad you beat me up that way. You know, if I would have, if you'd have took me out of that situation 27 years ago, I wouldn't be who I am today. Isn't that cool? I couldn't see it then. Miserable. Couldn't see it then. But looking back now, I see it. I don't pray for that to go away anymore. Because I know. I stand up here, I'm singing, and somebody sings a song. You guys didn't see it. Jamie sang that song, Holy Spirit, last week. It made me cry. I'm a man. I don't cry. Just a little piece of dirt in my eye or something. No. When God touches your life and He gets a hold of you, it's like, wow. I'd be coming to church sometimes with songs on about singing about something about, you know, Christ on the cross. It just hits me. And I can't believe that He loved me that much. He would suffer that much. So I could be here today. So you could be here today. So we could be here today and say, you know what? Is anything too hard for our God? You have to answer that question personally. I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question personally. And I haven't even looked at my notes. I got 3 pages of stuff we didn't even touch yet. It might be a couple more hours. Yeah. See, that's the neat part about studying. That's the neat part about just letting God do His thing. I don't even want to say it. Maybe it was gibberish. Maybe it was stupid. I don't know. Maybe I told you too much. Huh? One thing I need you to know. You need to answer that question for yourself personally. Is anything too hard for God? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father. Is anything too hard for You? No, it's not, Father. We have to just stop and understand that You're God. You're in control. No matter how bad and messed up this old world seems to be getting, You have a remnant. It comes to my mind, Father. And Elijah said, there's none left but Me. And You told him, I have 7,000 that have not bent the knee to Baal. I believe that, Father. I believe in this world there are Christians, there are people that stand up and praise the name of Jesus and are loyal to Him and will die because of it. Father, and I just praise You for it. I just ask that those would be many. And that, Father, we could just touch this world and they could understand, no matter how much they hate us, Father, we're just trying to show them the love of Jesus. Because He showed love to us. And we just praise You for that. Father, we thank You. Father, just help us to make the decision to answer that question for ourselves. Meditate on it. Think about it. There is nothing too hard for our God. Father, we just thank You and praise You. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. The elders come forward. Praise band comes forward. Praise band's going to do a song. This morning I just feel that, as Les said there, looking around, not too many here that haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I want to open this up with a little bit of a healing.